Where does a girl learn how to be a mother? I don't know whether she just has to learn by observing, or whether you sit down with her and give her a course on here's how you become a good mother. But I believe that most women learn how to be a mother from sidewalk talk. And we can't help but be influenced by the everyday talk we hear regarding how a mother should do this or do that. And then it's hard to sort out the facts from the misconceptions and from the superstitions and from the wrong theories and ideas about what mothers should do. I guess all little girls play with dolls, and they play like their mothers. And I wonder what kind of concepts runs through a little girl's mind as she plays with that doll. You see, she pulls a string and the baby only cries on command. That's not the way it really is, but that's the way you see little girls grow up playing with their dolls. And then you bend its legs, and that little baby will sit quietly there for hours undisturbed. Won't bother you a bit. You can go about doing whatever you want, and you can come back, and that little doll is just sitting right there as you left it. Now, that's the way you play dolls, I guess. Then you can dress it up in a real pretty little suit of clothes, and those clothes will stay clean for a month, and they can wear those same clothes maybe a year. And that's the kind of concept maybe a little girl gets as she plays with her dolls. You see, a play mother has everything under control. And the doll's a toy, which is easily controlled by command or by pulling a string or by new batteries. Now, that's pretty well the way a little baby is controlled by a play mother. Now, as a girl grows up and she sets her dolls aside, she enters into new stages of concepts about children. But once again, I think many of the concepts that she comes across, she hears from sidewalk talk. Maybe those that she is associated with, but she comes up with some misconceptions about motherhood. Misconceptions that she'll have the remainder of her life, unless somebody comes along to correct her. How do you see this morning the mother role? Now, I could ask that of anybody. I could ask that of a father or a husband or a boy or a girl. How do you see a mother role? What is a mother supposed to do? What is a mother supposed to be? And we get all sorts of ideas from those that we ask that question. Then we ask, well, how is a mother supposed to do it? And again, we get all sorts of opinions. How is a mother supposed to think and act around her children? Again, we get all sorts of theories and ideas, even from the mothers themselves. Now, animals operate by instinct. But you know, I don't believe a mother can really learn a great deal as how to raise and bring up children by instinct. We just don't have real clear instincts in this matter of being parents, mother or father. We even have to be taught how to change a diaper. We don't even have that good an instinct. Now, the few times I tried, didn't try many times, as soon as the baby stood up, diaper fell off. You know, I never did really get the hang of that. What I really ought to have was a pair of baby suspenders. That would have solved my problem, you know. I think I'm going to invent those. Somebody might buy them anyway. I don't know. But you see, there's a lot of things that animals don't have to worry about that you have to teach human beings. Now, I want to look this morning at three of what I would consider to be sidewalk talk misconceptions. A curious teenager who was the youngest child in the family one day went to her mother and she said, "Hey, Mom, was I an accident?" And her mother replied, "All of my children were accidents." Now, here's the first misconception. Many children born into the world are accidents. That's the first sidewalk talk misconception a lot of mothers go on. If I ask this morning the show of hands of how many of you ever asked your parents, "Were you an accident?" Probably over 2/3 of the congregation would lift their hand, "Yep, I'm one of them." Now, all of you visited a hospital nursery at one time or another in your life, I guess you have. And you've looked through a little old glass window, you know, and there's all those newborn babies in there. And the bed, above the bed, the little baby, there's a little cord which has on there the date born and the weight and the length. And then it has on there the name. And some of the parents, well, I guess, were still so upset or recovering from shock, they don't even have a name yet. And so it just says baby boy. And then the last name is given. I think it might be appropriate to put such names like this on there. Baby, where'd you come from? Or, baby, this can't be. Or, baby, oh no, not again. Or, baby, are you sure? Baby, this is the end. Baby, this must be a mistake. And, baby, you gotta be kidding. Now, these could be really appropriate titles for a lot of children that are born. And we talk about the glad news. Well, to a lot of folks, when you announce the glad news, to them it's bad news, and they say it's an accident of tragic proportions. And really, some people go into a tailspin over the announcement of a birth and just argue up and down, there's no way, it cannot be, it must not happen. Oh no, what is God allowed to happen? And they get all upset. That is, when you announce becoming a mother, to them it ruins everything. All the plans, all the goals. And they really say there is no place for a baby in our lives right now. Now this misconception that a lot of folks have is what has really spawned the abortion movement. This conception. That is, if a baby is going to be a problem, if the baby and the accident is going to be painful, then there's a simple solution today. Just go down and have an abortion. That solves that problem. Now, as I understand the Bible, God only intended for there to be only one undesirable aspect to motherhood. Now, you mothers follow me here. There's only one thing in the Bible that says should be undesirable about being a mother. Only one. Look, if you will, at Genesis 1, 27 through 28. I think a lot of mothers have the idea that becoming a mother and having a baby is the curse that God put upon women as a result of the fall into sin. That is, they view a baby as a curse on them. That's just not biblical. Look, if you will, at verse 27 and 28, chapter 1. We're in that state of history before man fell. God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, having children was God's idea in the first place, and it was to be a blessing to the women to be a mother. The fall did not change that biblical truth. The only thing the fall into sin changed was the moment of birth. That's all. The only unpleasant thing about being a mother is the unpleasant moment of the actual birth process. Look at Genesis 3:16. To the woman God said, I will greatly, because of the fall now, I will greatly increase your pregnancy troubles and you will suffer birth pangs. One translation puts it, and yours just simply reads, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. That's simply talking about the initial act of giving birth to a child. That's the only unpleasant thing the Bible ever says that should be connected with children. Never should a mother view having children as an unpleasant thing. And that's very important. Very important. I believe that we ought to really take serious this matter that no children are accidents. I mean, no children are accidents. And that's very important. God never says children are a curse. God never says children are a burden. God never says children are a problem. We say, I got a problem, child. Oh, no, something's wrong. God never sends children to be problems. No matter how you might speak of your children, there are, in God's eyes, no accidents. And that's very important. Look at Genesis 33, 4 and 5. Genesis 33, 4. And Esau ran to meet his brother and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And Esau and Jacob wept. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the women and the children, that is, following Jacob. And he said, "Whose are those with you?" Who are those folks? And Jacob said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Notice that he says children are God's gift. No accident, folks. They're God's gift. Psalms 127:3 really makes this much more clearer than that. Psalms 127, verse 3. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of thy womb is his reward." I believe that we ought to take this in specific terms, not in general terms. God picked the time and the place and the child for Abraham and Sarah. He picked Isaac. God picked the time and the parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, to bring forth the child, John the Baptizer. I don't believe those are exceptions to a rule, but I believe that's the way God operates. And God says, "I picked the time, and I picked the parents, and I picked the child. And I put all three together at my choosing as an inheritance and a reward to the mother and the father." God matches up parents with children. Nothing haphazard about it. For God has an eternal purpose in every child he gives every mother. God has a work to do with that mother and with that child. And God never makes a mismatch. And he never picks the wrong time. I recall the first child we had was, you might say, planned. And that was Barry. And I thank God for Barry. Then the second child we had was planned. That was Robin. And we thank God for Robin. But Ginger came along as a surprise. And you know, I thank God for Ginger just as much as I do Barry and Robin. I really do. And I'd hate to know that we would have never had Ginger. I'm glad that God is able to work around all of our maneuverings and our precautions and all of our steps. God can work around and do the impossible when it comes to putting the right parent with the right child. And God says, "Brother, I don't make accidents. So don't look upon your children as an unwanted tragedy that broke up some of your plans for life." God never wants you to see your children as a thing of displeasure, a thing of pain, a pain of agony, and a pain of loss. That's wrong. Don't call your child an accident. Because you see, the word accident implies those very things, tragedy and loss and pain and displeasure. When you say, "I've had an accident," you imply something unpleasant happened to me. Children should never be considered unpleasant in the eyes of mother and father. If you do, you wrong your children. You really do. You're going to have a hard time being a good mother if you really see your children as an accident. They are God's gift to you. Not only that, and I know children are made from chromosomes and genes, but I tell you, God puts the combination of chromosomes and genes together to bring out the kind of child he wants for you. Now, the second misconception that I think sometimes comes from sidewalk talk is in this story illustrated. A young father was told the glad news that he was going to be the father of a child. And so he got all upset, and finally he said, "Well, there's one consolation, I guess. I have one more income tax deduction. One more income tax deduction." Now here's the second misconception. The only value of a child to you is that he is an income tax deduction. Now that's the way a lot of folks talk. Now needless to say, that's not why God gives you children, that you can lower your income tax payments. Now, if that's what you think, let me write that off right quick as a misconception. Now, God says children are what? A gift and an inheritance. They are a gift from God to you, and they are inheritance from God to you. Normally when we think about inheritance, we think about, well, what am I going to give my kids? God says, listen, you need to get this thing in your mind. You have already received inheritance in your children. Now, when I talk about inheritance and gifts, the first thing that comes to your mind is benefits. You ask, well, am I in his inheritance? Well, you mean, what am I going to get from that individual as far as inheritance? Parents, do you know you're supposed to get something from your children? That's one of the great misconceptions we have, that God gives us children only so we can give them something that they need and that they can be helped by. That's just half the story. And now I say this, God designs a gift because he knows what kind of inheritance you need. If I inherited a turnip farm, I could care less. I don't need any turnip. I don't like turnips. But now if I inherited something else that I really liked or I needed, that'd be great. So God says, what you need, I have designed in your children as your inheritance. And you might say, well, I got a lot of kids. You need a lot of inheritance. Let's put it that way. You need a lot of things the Lord wants to give you. We're always, as parents, saying, well, I have to do this for my child, and I have to do that for my child, and I have to give my child this. I have to look after that for my child. Do you ever stop to think that your children are giving you something? I don't just mean joy. That's not really the basic thing the Lord is trying to give you in children. He's not just trying to give you some happiness and joy. He's got some other purpose in mind in giving you the children. We sometimes ask, well, why are my children so different? Why are my children like they are? Because God has given you something in your children you don't realize. He wants them to do something for you. What is it? Now, God knows that your happiness in life depends on your ability to have the Christ-like character in your life. God knows this. The things that make you and I miserable and unhappy is that we have un-Christ-like characteristics in our personality. And so God gives you children, which are God's answer to your problems, which are God's answer to the solutions to your problems. In other words, a child comes in and the child reveals like a mirror, Mama, here's your fault. Here's one of your real weaknesses, Mama. And then you see, the child in a sense says to Mama, now Mama, I'm going to really be a problem to you unless you can handle that character problem in your life. And Mama, what you better do, if you know what's good for you, you better get a tight grip on God. Because, man, I'm going to give you the works. But if you get a good grip on God through Him, you not only will conquer that characteristic in your personality that's bad, but you'll conquer me and you'll mold me into the image of Christ. I'm going to help you figure out what's wrong with you. I'm going to be your little private psychiatrist. I'm going to help you spot all of your weaknesses. I'm going to be your little preacher. I'm going to take you and lead you to God where you'll cry out for His help. I'm going to bring God on your side, and He's going to work with you to make you a better mother, and then you're going to, with His help, make me a better child. I'm going to help you be better, and you're going to help me be better, and we're going to get God involved right in the middle of it. You ever thought about that? That's the way it's supposed to work. The kids start doing something, the mother's saying, what am I going to do? And the child is really saying, in a sense, I know what you ought to do, Mama. You ought to call on God. You got a problem, Mama. I'm not the only problem you got. I'm just showing you the problem you got. You got two problems. Mother, you need to change. What you need is a Christ-like character in your life. And once you get that, you can give it to me. And I'll look at you as the example. Folks, children are not an income tax deduction only. There's much more benefit to them than that. And you let your children, they can lead you to a closer walk with Christ. They can make you a more lovely person. And you can make them like the Christ that lives in you. And you know, I think the first step in having children, the benefit comes to the mother. I said a while ago, you know, I only changed diapers a couple of times. Why didn't I get up in the middle of the night and do that more? Fathers, why don't you take more interest in raising your children than you do? You know what? The mother by birth is forced to begin working on this concept of self-sacrifice for the life of somebody else.
A mother's forced by birth to say there's somebody else in life besides me that matters. Daddy doesn't have that feeling. He didn't give birth to the child. His life wasn't risk. He didn't face the chance of death. He didn't face the pain. He didn't have to take care and nurse the child. So therefore, you see, he doesn't really feel this self-sacrifice that the mother feels. And that's one of the Christ traits, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he sacrificed his life, the life of others. That's why children are drawn to the mother so much. Because why? Mother will sacrifice. Mother will give of herself to the child. Where father sometimes has never learned that lesson. But children are going to have to teach papa that lesson. They need to be taught that lesson. And so a lesson, you see, that many folks never seem to learn is the more that you care about other people and the more that you self-sacrifice, the more joy comes into your life. The more a mother gives for her children, the happier she becomes. The more a husband gives to his wife, the more happier the husband becomes. Helping others and giving up what you demand as your rights brings joy to your life. And yet, children begin to teach the mother very early that the secret to happiness is in self-sacrifice. Then thirdly and quickly, to illustrate the third misconception, there was a large group of children one time surrounding a lady. So there was a conversation about two of those onlookers, and they walked over and they said, "Are all these children yours?" He said, "Oh no, these are not all my children, just those two over there are mine." Here's the third misconception that a lot of parents have about children. That they believe they are possessions of theirs. They are not. Did you know in communist countries that they say children are the property of the state? Christian, beware. Our state, and I mean by that our United States, is fast becoming communistic in that regard. I want to tell you something you may not know, and this is true. I'm not kidding you. If you take a paddle to your child in the driveway because they break your car window out, and whip them, and the neighbor next door can call up and turn you in for child abuse. Now, I'm not saying you do anything your pop didn't do to you. The kid's not really hurt. He cries a little bit, but that's the end of it. They can come out, and they can take your kid from you on the grounds of child abuse, and they can put your child in a foster home against your will. Now, it's being done in the United States today. I'm not kidding you. If you lay a hand on your child, they can get you for child abuse. Because the state says today the children belong to the state. They don't belong to the parents. That's getting dangerous, folks. That really is. Now, I say the state does not own the children, and the parents don't own the children, but God says, I own the children. They are mine. And God loans us the children, and they are to be raised for him by the parents. They are not ours to do with as we see fit. They're sure not the state's. But God says, those are my children. Jesus said, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. They are mine. Even to the point that if they die, they go to heaven. They're mine. I claim them now as mine. Those are three sidewalk talk misconceptions that a lot of folks have about motherhood. There are no accidents. Children are more valued to you than an income tax deduction. And children belong to God. They're his. On loan to you, to be raised by you, to be given back to him. Every parent should dedicate their children to God and raise them to be God's. For there are God's. Father, we're thankful this morning for the privilege we have to have been born of a mother. And for those who are mothers, we are thankful this day for the sacrifice that they paid. And may they realize this morning the blessed gift that God gave unto them. And while there is still chance for the parents to learn from the children who are at home, may the mothers and the fathers begin to realize that they're not only teaching their children things, but their children are teaching them things about themselves. And may we heed to what they're saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.